You know, we've got these signs up here. How many of you ever, now I know none of you would ever let your minds wander during the sermon. So none of you ever look up there and just read those signs or anything, do you? What? How many of you have ever read those signs over and over to where you think you pretty much have them memorized? We had an instance this week that was really neat. One of our younger couples has a child that is in I'm not sure exactly which grade, but young. And their child, I guess, reads our signs and takes those things to heart and is constantly inviting their little classmates to church, even though their little classmates can't drive or anything like that. But just constantly does it because I guess she thinks from being here, that's what she's supposed to do. And anyway, this little girl was FaceTiming? Was FaceTiming with her little friend. Can you imagine that? You've got somebody like in first grade or whatever, and they're FaceTiming. Well, they're FaceTiming with the friend across there, and the mother says, you need to shut it down. It's late at night. And so she says, well, are you coming to church tomorrow? And her friend, the mother's listening to this, and the friend says, I can't come to church tomorrow. It's Sunday. Sunday's when I watch my movies. And her child responded and said, movies? She said, you've got to come to church on Sunday. She said, we've got a big green sign in our church that says you're not supposed to sit on the couch and watch TV. And, I thought when she told me that story, I couldn't remember if it was green or not. I had to come in here and look, and sure enough, that sign is green. But I thought what was interesting about it is one, I thought it was funny. But two, we've got those four signs. The first one says, you belong in God's family. And that's really where it starts, where all of a sudden God opens our eyes to realize he sees us. He cares about us. He wants us in his family. He wants a relationship with us. And then we start to realize our second sign, that sin is serious. And sin means that I'm so self-centered and I've got what I want in mind so much that I have pushed God and his call in my life out of the way. And he calls me for a relationship, but I don't have time for it. And I start to realize when God reveals that to me that I have ruined my own life. That my life is empty compared to what it could be because I've pushed the love of my life, I've pushed God out. And then our third sign says, you become a Christian when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people I know that think that's the end of it. That's where you meet God. That's where your relationship with God begins. And I thought it was so cool for this little kid to have jumped to sign number four and realize, I recognize that God loves me. I recognize that God wants me. I recognize that my life is empty without him. I want Christ in my life. I give myself to Christ. And so now my life begins. Now I can pursue him and find true life in serving him. And you're not supposed to sit on the couch and watch TV. I just think that's pretty cool. And really everything about that, when you think about it, when we are children, when we are babies, our lives revolve around ourselves. And when we're spiritual babies, our spiritual life revolves around ourselves and what God can do for us. But as we start to grow up, we start to realize that God does have a plan and a purpose for our life. He created us a masterpiece to do the good works that he long ago planned for us. And in doing those good works, we experience him and we see the reality of God in our life. Our whole life opens up, blossoms, and changes when we're off the couch following him and pursuing that purpose that God has for us. And even in a meeting like this today, where we come in right here, we can look and check our spiritual temperature to see whether or not we are coming in here as maturing believers in Christ who are coming to serve God. We are coming to find God, knowing that we will find true love when we give it away, that we will find God's comfort when we give it away. when we will find God's encouragement when we give it away, when we will find our true faith as we walk in faith and help to spread faith among others. And so really, even walking in here, and that's why we have our greeting, because it's just a little symbol of what this is about. But what I love about it is the time that we spend together before the service, the time that we spend together after the service, the time we spend together during the week, where we are living out what God wants us to do. And as we live out what God wants us to do, we find that he's with us. And so we're going to take just a few minutes right here. We're going to greet one another. But just remember, as we do that, you are important. And God is not watching this service to see whether or not the PowerPoint was correct. He's not watching to see whether or not all the musicians hit the right note. He's not even listening to whether you're in tune while you're singing. What he's wanting to know is, in your hearts, did you come to give to him? Did you come to give yourself to him, to see his creation, which is sitting right next to you, and to treat it with the value and love that he has for it? And that is true worship, isn't it? So let's take just a moment and let's greet one another. As you can see, we got a few kids up here. But as you will see, they're not little babes in Christ. And really, I got them up here because I wanted to ask them just a couple of questions each. And I am going to go with Katie first, because Katie is supposed to be back there watching our little ones, and she doesn't want to leave them alone too long. So I'm going to ask her first, but we've got that sign up there that says, "You can make a difference." And, you know, I don't know how many times when I was young, I felt like the world is so big, I can't make a difference. But we can make a difference. And I want to just ask you, Katie, because I know you invite your friends here. Give her her own microphone. Hope I'm not unleashing a monster. No, I'm kidding. you have invited your friends here, and I just want to ask you, why did you invite your friends to come?
Okay, well, first off, I feel like I don't really think a lot about it. It's more like God works in the things that, like, I just really don't think about. But I guess I want them to experience, like, the love and family that we have here. And yeah.
So you really didn't have to think everything out and have everything planned and have this big agenda. You just felt like there was something here that meant something to you. You wanted to share it.
Yeah.
It was as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And so you just invited them.
Yeah.
What did you expect would happen?
Maybe that they'd, like, come once, have a good time, maybe come again.
What did happen?
Well, Alicia has been coming here for, like, 2 years. Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have Alicia. But actually, more than Alicia's just here, because Alicia started coming, and she started, you know, God started working her life here, and so her mother started coming, and then, if I'm not mistaken, her grandparents started coming. And were you expecting that to happen when you...
No,
when you came?
Not at all.
It's kind of funny how God works, isn't
yeah.
it? We just do what we feel in our hearts God wants us to do, and he surprises us by doing mm-hmm. more than we think. I remember we were at the youth retreat, and I spoke to Katie about that. I said, you know, I'm really proud of you for doing what God wants you to do and for the way he's used you. And then we just talked about that, and she's got some people who are here right now in this auditorium because she invited them to come, who've been coming. I just pointed that out to her, and she said, you know, I never really thought of that. And I'm sure she had thought about it, but when you stop and realize that God's made a difference in people's lives simply because of you bringing them into God's atmosphere, it's not because you had this great wisdom you gave them. It's simply because you knew God loved you, you experienced that love, you shared that love, and somehow God works. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Well, that's good. Well, that's really all I wanted to say from you, so you can go back to work. And that's pretty cool too, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty cool that we've got a junior in high school, and she feels like she wants to find a place to serve in the church. That's good. Well, let's see. I guess we'll go down the line. So apparently you're next. Asya wants to be last.
No, I want to be last.
Okay, you are. This is Shada, and I just want to ask you kind of the same questions a little bit differently, but. You just kind of popped up one time. I didn't even realize who you were. I turned around, there you were, and that was several years ago when I introduced myself to you. But why did you come here the first time?
Well, originally I'd come here because Sierra Ventura, many of you know her. She used to come all the time. But she had invited me because we went to school together and we were best friends. But she invited me and was like, you should come, it's really fun. And I was like, I got nothing better to do on Wednesday, why not?
And so you just showed up. That is really interesting, isn't it? That it just you just had a friend, and she just said, hey, if you need to come, and you came. And so then we didn't see you again. We saw you for a couple weeks, and we didn't see you again for about a year. And then all of a sudden we saw you coming back. And this time when you came, you came back with your family, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that wasn't any great, real deep thing. What happened there where you came back?
Well, me and my family had been looking for a really good church, and, like, every church we went to was always, like, really crowded or, like, really just unwelcoming. And then I was like, hey, why don't we go to Eastwood? I felt really welcome there. We could go try there. And my mom's like, okay, sure. So we show up, and everybody's being, like, way super welcoming. And my mom's like, you know what? Let's try to invite Crystal's family. And Crystal's family came, too, and now they're naturals, too.
That is kind of it's kind of interesting as that goes. And that's another thing, you know, when we look at ourselves, sometimes we think, you know what can I do? Because when you're a kid and you don't have a driver's license and you're saying, okay, let me make a family decision on what we're doing. How many of you know you don't have a lot of weight on that decision? We don't always go on things where our kids want for something big like church. We usually make that decision for the kids. But sometimes God uses you, doesn't he? And mm-hmm. When you stop and think about it, let's see. We had, how many members of your family baptized this year?
I know last year, like...
I guess it was last year.
Yeah, it was me, my mom, and my sister.
Okay, and her friends that came, we had how many baptized?
I know Kobe was baptized.
And so
four
was
of
Paige.
Them?
So
yeah.
Yeah, four of them, let's see, so that's seven. How many of you say that's pretty good work for God to do? Okay, that's pretty good work. Were you expecting that?
Mm-mm.
You just let God's love in your heart. You spoke and did what he wanted. You invited others in, and look what God did. That's pretty cool. Go ahead and I'll let you pass that to Cassie. Now, Cassie, I know you're one. I just put a couple of our youth up because I wanted you to see what's going on in the hearts of our kids, because I believe what they're doing is discovering what God wants for them. And it's not like they've got some, you know, huge special gift. They're just kids that realize God's important to their life. But Cassie, you've invited people here too, and I really want to ask you, because you've been doing it for a while, I want to ask you, why do you invite people to come?
Because I love them, and I want them a part of our amazing church family.
Well, there you go. That sounds like such a simple answer, doesn't it? But how many of you know that is really a deep answer? When we talk about what God wants for us, a lot of times we like to have these big theological discussions. But I'll tell you what, the goal of our instruction is what? Love. And to be able to see your friend and to see what they need instead of seeing, you know, hey, let's just have a good time at school, let's do this. But to look at your friend and say, man, a lot. They need Christ in their life. They need the love that I have. And I really don't know what to do, but I do know that I want them to experience it. So it's really that simple, isn't it? It's really that simple. And let me ask you this. Have you been happy and amazed at what God has done?
Yes.
And let me ask you this. How does it make you feel when you see God using you? Well, I surprised you with that one, didn't I?
No, it makes me feel really good. I mean, like I'm useful.
It does.
And I'm doing what I was intended for.
How does that make you feel as far as your relationship with Christ?
It strengthens it.
It strengthens it. Good. Well, thank you. All right, Asiya, you're last.
Yay.
Okay, let me just ask you this, because you have invited, you're kind of like Miss Invitee. As a matter of fact, before I start, at the Valentine's banquet last night, Tim Good came up to me. And the big Tim Good. Tim Little Good came up to me also, but I'm not going to tell you what he told me. It was something about my dancing ability. No, I'm just kidding. Tim Good Sr. came up to me. And he said, you do know this is our anniversary. And I thought he meant it was like his wedding anniversary on Valentine's Day or whatever. And I said, your wedding anniversary? And he said, no. I said, you mean it's our wedding anniversary? And he said, no, it's not yours either. He said, 1 year ago, this coming Sunday, which is today, Asiya invited Victoria to come to church here. And so eventually from Victoria coming, their family came, and we're just grateful to have them and how they work in our church and become a part of our church and become a part of what God's doing. And I remember when they joined the church not too long ago, they said that they just knew this is where God wanted them to be and serve. This is the place God wanted them to be. Well, they found it because Asiya invited their daughter to come. It's just as simple as that. Now, let me ask you this, Asiya. You've invited several people. As a matter of fact, you've had how many people in the last month that you've invited have given their heart to Christ?
Two.
How many people or adults who've been Christians for 40 years who cannot say, in the last 40 years, because God put a love in my heart for someone else, and I just asked them to come into an environment where they could see what it was like to live with people who have Christ first, so they could see the difference between the world and between God's family. And so in the last 40 years, how many people have I had who've given their hearts to Christ because I exposed them to what true Christianity was? That's just a good question to ponder. How old are you?
I'm 12.
She's 12. She had two last month. That's what God wants for us. And let me ask you this, like, how long have you studied the Bible to learn this plan of evangelism that you have?
None.
Huh? None?
But I mean, oh my gosh. I mean,
I might have to have a long talk with the youth leaders now.
Not as much
none
as
none whatsoever.
Not as much as I should.
Not as much as I should. Oh, now we're getting the church answered there. Probably haven't prayed as much as you should either, have you?
No, I feel bad.
Where did you get all this training?
Daddy!
Oh. Well, that is a good influence, isn't it? And it is good to have a father that talks to you about the fact that God does have a purpose and a plan for your life, and he created you as a masterpiece, exactly what he needs you to be to use you, and even though you don't know everything, God can still use you. Really, all he wants you to do is to let the love that's in your heart out. Just, one of you said it, I think you said it, Kathy, I want to share what everyone else, I want to share with them what I've gotten. I want to share that love of God with people, and it's as simple as that. Let me ask you this, when you invited people, did you have expectations that God was going to do something really big? Or no. Did it surprise you?
It surprised me.
God always surprises us, doesn't it? But, and really what I wanted you to look and say, this is how simple living for Christ really is. This is how complicated it is. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. And as a matter of fact, God did not equip any one of these kids, even the one that ran out to go serve, to be able to communicate the gospel completely. But he put them in a family. He put them on a team. And they're part of God's army. They're soldiers for Christ, which means that they just go out into the world with the weapon of love. And they trust God to do whatever he's going to do because he is God. And I think that there's a lesson in there for us. Because we need to really open ourselves up and allow God to use us as well as he can. Well, thank you guys. And let me we'll give them a hand because it is tough to get up here. How many of you are glad we have got youth like this in our church? How many of you are grateful? How many of you are grateful that your kids? I know for myself, I am grateful that my kids come and associate week after week with people who are not perfect, and they struggle just like they are, like they do, but people who are trying to follow Christ. And I think that's pretty good. We can make a difference. I like this, use me. Just any way that God wants to, use me. Not in a real complicated way, just in a little simple thing. Jesus tells us if you're faithful with what kind of things? The little things, I will give you great responsibility. You know, being faithful with those little things, reaching out, loving and touching. And all of a sudden now, even little Asya has got a great responsibility. She has led people to Christ. And those people are looking at her, and they're following her as she follows Christ. Of course, they're looking at her as she follows her father, who teaches her how to follow Christ. And he's learning too. But we're all in that same boat. To make a difference in someone's life, you don't have to be brilliant, rich, beautiful, or perfect. You just have to care. You just have to care. You just have to say, hey, I want you to have what I've got. I don't really even know how I got it. I just know that I get it, and God increases it when I'm together with his people. So I know God works when I'm with his people. I know he is building his church, and he is building me up through the church. And the purpose of the church is for all of us to grow together to the maturity and that stature of Christ. And it happens in the what? It happens in the church. It's not that it can't happen other places. It's just that when you get a bunch of people together, all with the same purpose, more happens than when you get a bunch of people scattered out all alone. And that is how God works. He just wants us to care. I like this. What do we do? Small actions. Lots of people, big change. It's not any one of you that God is looking at to change the world. It is all of you together. It's not any one of you that God is looking to be able to be the person who brings salvation into the life of another. It is all of you together. It's not that he wants someone to see that you alone are different in this world, and because Christ is in your life, you are different from everyone else. Because God is building the church, a family where everyone who responds to him becomes part of the family. And it is that group of us that not any one of us can stand alone, not any one of us has it all, not any one of us knows what to do, but together, God has the ability to bring the resources to do what he wants to do through us, even if we don't understand how it's going to happen. And he loves to surprise us. Now, I'm going to do one quick little parable that Jesus does called the wedding feast. And I think it is a good picture of where we as a church are and where God wants to bring us in this year. Because I do believe that God has developed a great ability to love, support, encourage, comfort, reach out within our body. I think we're good at it. I think we are very, very, very deep when it comes to caring about, supporting, and reaching out to one another in God's love. But I think we might want to stretch us this way a little bit with that. You know, we went over to Uganda, and we were looking at the church there, and we were talking about it as we went, and we saw how aggressively they evangelized everywhere they went. They knocked on doors. At one time, we were there at the crusade, and Mark and I had actually talked the night before, and we had said, you know what? Really, we have grown enough, and the interpreters have grown enough in what we're doing, that they could do this without us. We really don't need to be here. We might have been better off if we would have sent, instead of $20,000 over here for this medical mission, and us coming over with another 20. We might have been better to send 40 and let them do it. And we were just discussing that. And I was standing there with Moses, and I was saying, you know, you guys really are at a place where, you know, you don't really need us to do this. And he said, oh, no. He said, look at this. He said, and he pointed to the stage. And he said, look at this over here. And he pointed to the tent the people were under. And he said, look at this, the medicine over there and stuff was going on. He said, none of this would be here without you. And I didn't realize until that point, when they do 4 crusades a year, that they don't bring a lot of medicine, and they don't have tents, and they don't have the stage. Their people are there. What they do is they go out in the community and knock on doors. They knock on doors and knock on doors and knock on doors and knock on doors. And as far as evangelism goes, they are a mile wide. But we were very surprised to find out that they have in their church no Sunday school type things, no small groups, no meeting together. Everything they do is someone standing up and speaking to a large group. And then they go off and they talk about soccer and they talk about this or that, but they don't have what we would call Christ-centered relationships to grow deep. And so this time our purpose and what Mukumbi wanted in the purpose was for us to share some of that ability for them to grow deep and together in what they're doing. But they're a mile wide and an inch deep. We're a mile deep and an inch wide. Because we are not going out into this community trying to beat down the doors to lead everyone who is lost and dying and alone to Christ. And I don't mean that as a complete negative, because I know God is working in them just like he's working in us. But I think if we're going to be honest, we need to grow in our passion for what God's purpose for us is with the great gift he's given us. You know, I looked and I thought about it, and I thought, how many of us are sitting here, including myself, with a deep passion that every seat in this building is full? Not because we want a full church, not because we want to have a lot of people, but because every empty seat in this building represents someone who is on their way to hell. It represents someone that is alone in their crisis without Christ to see them through. It represents someone who is going to have a loved one die and is going to be left with no hope. It leaves someone who has children who is not investing in them and teaching them how to become godly people, but is allowing the world to suck them in so that they can live empty lives, meaningless lives, painful lives, and then pass on to eternity without knowing Christ. That's what every empty seat in this room represents. And we go over to Uganda, and it's all they think about. And we come over here, and honestly, some of us never think about it. Now, we understand what God can do for us, and we understand how God loves us and how God blesses us, and we understand how we need to be the community of Christ to one another. But we're going to do that when we're in heaven. And God hasn't brought us to heaven yet, because he doesn't want us to be the only ones who are there. And it is a part of the purpose that he has for us. And this parable Jesus tells us is a part of it. And I know for myself, I am praying that I will grow in this. And I'm praying that our church will grow in it, because I believe that God has given us a wonderful gift. And everyone that I see that comes in and spends enough time with this body and really is not pushing God away and doesn't want to hear it, but anyone who's slightly open, who spends much time here, you know what they become? They become Christians, and they become part of our body. And I think we need to pull more in and be more aggressive in what we're doing. Jesus told them another parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. Now, the king is God in the parable. And the wedding feast is when Christ takes his bride, which is the church. That's the people who have responded to his call. And the feast represents a time of intimacy. In the Middle East, even today, they do not eat with people who are not friends. And if I share a meal with you, because in ancient times, when I sat down to a meal, I was unguarded. And so I would not sit down for a meal unless... that's interesting. I would not sit down with a list. Maybe flip that and see if it works, if it goes. I would not sit down for a meal unless I knew that the people who were with me were trusted people that I wanted an intimate relationship with. And so the king... got a little technical difficulties here, but they're going to flip us up to the next one. Either that or I'm going to have to move back to the old-fashioned way and get a Bible. Unfortunately for you, you're not going to be able to see my Bible. But I've got a backup if it happens again. When the banquet was ready... And I want to tell you, the banquet is ready. Christ has come in the flesh. Who God is and what's in his heart has been revealed. The sacrifice to pay for our sin that separated us from God has already been made. Christ has risen from the dead. His arms are open and he knocks at the door. And the banquet is ready. If we want an intimate relationship with God, how many of you know we don't have to wait till we get to heaven? That is open for everyone right now. And when the banquet was ready, he sent who to notify those who were invited? His servants. That's us. That's us. We are the servants of God, and he sends them out to notify all who are invited, but they all refuse to come. Now, you know, that can be a little discouraging for the church. But it shouldn't be the reason that we don't go anymore. Because I know many of you have made an attempt to step out at times to invite someone or to lead someone to Christ. Or you feel like you want to bring someone to Christ, but they don't want to what? They don't want to come. They don't want to be Christians. They don't see the value of being in God's family. And they refused to come. Well, this happened in the parable also. You know what God did? What do you think he did? Well, this is interesting. He sent out other servants. There was a second wave that went out. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a third wave that goes out. Because just because people don't realize who God is, and just because they don't realize they need God, and just because they can't see how great he is, just because they're told and they refuse, doesn't mean God gives up on them. But if I'm going to be honest, sometimes in my life, I have given up on him. And I have thought, well, you know, I checked, I asked, and they refused. But God is willing to do great battle for our souls. Christ did a tremendous battle for our souls. And so he sent other servants to tell them the feast is prepared. The bulls and fattened calf have been killed and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. Now, I want you to notice they didn't drive people to the banquet. They didn't make people go to the banquet. But they did invite people to come into a relationship with God. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way. So that kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? How many of you were in that exact same position? And you know, when I asked people, I know people in this congregation, all of you have had different experiences, but there are people sitting in this congregation that had people who were Christians pursue them, that had people who were Christians pray for them, and not necessarily pressure them and beat them over the head with the Bible, but there are people in this congregation who are here because there was an open arm that was left open. Even sometimes when it was rejected, but then when things finally fell apart, those arms were still open. One went his way to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted and killed them. Well, that can kind of sometimes stem us from wanting to go back out too, can't it? And sometimes that happens. Some of you have been treated harshly by loved ones, even family members that you tried to encourage to find Christ. And they didn't want to hear it. And they didn't want to hear you. And instead of turning on the message, they turned on you. And you were insulted, and sometimes you were persecuted. I don't think we've got anybody in here who was killed, but we can read in the newspaper about Christians that are killed doing it, can't we? And the king was furious. I want you to notice this. The king was furious. And he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and to burn their town. I want to tell you something. There are a lot of people around us whose towns are burning down. There are people whose families are burning down. There are people whose dreams are burning down. And the fact of it is, Jesus says, he who does not believe in me has been condemned already. And when we don't live by faith and when we don't walk with Christ, we are walking into destruction, and we don't have to wait until we pass away into the next world to experience hell. We can experience a living hell here on earth. And all of us who reject Christ are walking towards it. We are walking towards our families being torn apart. We are walking towards our dreams being crushed. We are walking towards getting everything that we want in our hands, only to find out that, like rust, those precious things that we have are eating away at our hearts. And so God's judgment is upon those who reject him. God does not go around blessing and helping people enjoy a life of rejection to him. He does not set his purposes in life to make people comfortable all their way until they go to hell. Now, they may be comfortable sometimes materially, but in the hearts of people who do not have Christ, there is an emptiness. And life is either going upward towards God, or it is unraveling at a pace that eventually a person will see. Now, the problem is sometimes the devil's working to hide from the eyes of a person whose city is being burnt down, that the flames are raging. But when it burns down, we all turn and realize that we're holding the matches in our own hands. And it was our own decisions, our own choices, our own rejection of God that leads us to that emptiness. And the king sent the soldiers out, and life started unraveling. Well, the people who are around us without Christ, their lives are unraveling. And at certain points in their life, they realize it. And that is the point at which the relationship we have with them can matter. That is the open point where people can move into Christ. And he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, and the guests I've invited aren't worthy of the honor." Well, actually, none of us are worthy of the honor, are we? You and I aren't worthy of being in God's family. You know why we're here? Because Christ paid with us with his precious what? Blood. And because the blood of Christ covers us, we are now worthy. And we are now his children, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is and what he has given us. But the ones who were invited who didn't respond are not worthy of honor. He says, go out into the street and corners and do what? Invite everyone. This is what the parable about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Go out and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find. This is interesting. Good and bad alike. They stopped judging on who they thought would fit in. And they reached out there, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. And when you come into the banquet hall and you see all that God has prepared and you see people enjoying a relationship with God, enjoying the comfort of God, enjoying the encouragement of God, enjoying the faith that God brings, enjoying the ability to overcome struggles and disappointments because of God's presence in your life, God can speak. God can work. And God can bring you into that guest. But when the king came in to meet the guest, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. "Friend," he asked, "how is it that you're here without wedding clothes?" But the man made no reply. Then the king said to his aides, "Bind his hands and feet and throw him out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is a parable of exactly what is going to happen with our church, with every church that is here, with all of God's will. God wants us to be able as a church to express what is in his heart and his love for us and other people, his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, and his faith. And as we do that, people come into God's family and they also receive that gift of grace and that gift of faith. But it's not enough just to be a part of the fellowship. It's not enough just to be friends. We're not here to offer friendship and comfort and help to people. We're here to offer salvation through Christ to people. And when we come short of that, we are way short of what God has envisioned for us. Because God wants to save souls, not just comfort people along the way. He wants them to find a relationship with him and a salvation that goes through this world into the next. And if you are a part of a congregation, or if you bring people in as friends, but they don't see their unworthiness, and they don't see God's grace and love through Christ, and they don't accept Christ and let the blood of Christ cleanse them and wash their robes clean, and if they don't wear the righteousness of Christ, because I have given my life to Christ and my life is not my own anymore, so it's not dependent upon who I am, but my life is given to Christ and I am hidden in Christ and everything about my life is the Spirit of Christ moving in me and helping me to grow and become who he wants me to be, because I am his child. So that when God looks down at me, he sees those righteous robes of Christ. He sees the blood of Christ. He sees the worthiness of Christ, because my sins have been paid by his blood and I am his child. I will be sent out to utter darkness. It will not be good enough that I had friends who were Christians. It will not be good enough that I attended a church with other Christians. It will not be good enough that I ate family dinners with people who were not Christians. And so this is a message sometimes that we need to stop and we need to look and we need to say, God has blessed us so greatly. He has given us a wonderful gift. What does he want us to do with it? I'll tell you what he wants us to do with it. You saw it right up here. And it's just as simple as that. God wants us to love the people who are around us, not just in word, not even in deed, but in the Spirit. He wants us to look and to see where their hearts are without Christ, and he wants our heart to be burdened for them. Now, we won't be burdened for everyone, but I'll guarantee you this. If you pray and ask God who he wants you to make a difference in their life, someone will come to your mind. God will put you in contact with a few people that you have a burden for their heart and for their salvation. And everyone who's listening to me right now knows that's exactly what God is thinking. He loves us. And he loves everything we do. He is interested in every detail of our lives. But he left us on this earth to fill these pews with other people who will not perish. And that is something I think we need to pray, to ask God to really put to the forefronts of our hearts and of our minds. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? God calls out to everyone. You know who's chosen? The ones who respond. The ones who respond are chosen and predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ. In other words, to not only think and act like he does as we grow and mature, but to feel and value what he does. So many are called, but few are chosen. And we want everyone to be chosen. We want everyone to respond to Christ. The more they're exposed to who Christ is and his love, the more likely they are to see how great that love is and respond to it. And that is what we are charged to do. Called but not chosen. We don't want anyone that we love to be in that category, do we? And I know sitting out here, there are people out here that can think right now of someone that they know, that they love, who has been called but has not chosen, not been chosen. They have not responded. And so we want God to work. I'm going to ask the band to come back up here, and we're just going to sing a song. And this will be a song to let God just work in your heart, whatever has been done. So just ask you to stand with us. And I'm going to pray. And then we're going to just take a time. And we're going to commune with God in this song. And allow you to speak with Him about whatever He lays on your heart. Father, first off, we want to thank you for what a great salvation you really gave us. Sometimes our lives go so fast, and because we are in a Christian community and we have such great support, and we see your love, and we see your love in others, and we're loved by others, sometimes we don't really stop to realize how fantastic that love really is. What a tremendous privilege it is for us to actually be here, worshiping you, surrounded by other people that love you and love us because we are family. Because we are your family. And we know that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And you have even given us other human beings that we know will stick with us through difficult times simply because they love us with your love. You have saved us out of the separation of the world into your great love and grace and your family. And we thank you and we ask you right now just to open our eyes and our hearts to realize what a wonderful gift that really is. You have blessed us beyond measure. And we thank you. And Father, we know that you have a great purpose for us. And we know that your heart beats and aches for those who do not know you. And the world is not moving towards you. But you are more powerful than this world. And I ask you, Lord, to give me a heart. And I ask you to give us as a church a heart that truly desires to see people come to know you. Not in a little way, but in a great way. And we know that just involves little faithful steps from us. But we ask you, Lord, to help us make those steps. And we pray that no one in this building and no one that we come in contact with will not hear your call. And we pray that you will enable us to think beyond ourselves and to see what you are doing in their hearts, to be available to be your forgiveness and be your grace and be your mercy so that their hearts might find you and they might not just be called but chosen. So we ask for your forgiveness and we ask for your strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.